Hello and welcome to episode 55 of Woman, Conversations for the Curious. I'm Amy Crawford, founder of Be Holistic Ingredient brand and lifestyle store, curated exclusively for women. This podcast series is dedicated to women seeking to enrich their lives with every drop of zest. I'm deeply passionate about fostering comfort and confidence as we explore the multifaceted world of womanhood together. Today's episode is brought to you by my best-selling raw organic maca powder, a blend of red, yellow, and black maca, sustainably sourced from the mountains of Peru. Maca has been used traditionally to naturally balance hormones, boost mood, promote stamina, build libido, and foster greater energy. You can add this delicious multi-flavored powder to your muesli, porridge, smoothie, bliss balls, or hot choc. Available now via my website, theholisticingredient.com. Today's podcast guest has had a huge impact on my own life, and I'm so looking forward to sharing this conversation with you. Sarah Tynan is the founder of the Quantum Coach Certification and the Quantum Business Academy. Through her program, Sarah helps people from all over the world create true abundance and freedom in their life and businesses. She does this through interweaving the principles of quantum physics and deliberate creation with potent business strategy. Sarah knows when you understand how to combine the two properly, it makes success not just possible, but inevitable. This conversation is for anyone and everyone trying to make a decision and create positive change in their lives. If Sarah doesn't inspire change in you, I'm honestly not sure what will. You're going to love it. Now, Sarah, I wanted just to start by thanking you so very much for helping bring such ease to my decision-making process early last year, and in turn giving me the confidence to make some really courageous decisions. So thank you.
Amy, it's such a pleasure. And I think there's so much that comes from difficult decisions. Yes. Honestly.
Yes.
And that's what we've both learned this year, I think.
I think so. Yeah.
It's wild.
Now, I really feel that at this time of the year, a conversation with you is so beautifully timed, given, you know, many women are at crossroads, many are perhaps stuck in patterns or careers or relationships, or maybe just immense frustration because they can't figure out a way forward or a new way forward, or they want this year to be different. Yeah. So thank you for having this conversation at a really pertinent time, because I think many women are going to take such inspiration and certainly courage from this conversation and understanding how you helped me.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes, it's so powerful. Yay, yeah. I'm so excited.
It's really
juicy, I can feel it already.
Yeah, exactly. Now, just to give this conversation a little bit of context, I just want to help the listeners understand how Sarah and I came to be having this conversation, because it might just perhaps help you start thinking about some big decisions you need to make in your life. But what basically happened is early 2023, I was contemplating the next steps in the holistic ingredient business. And as many of you know, over the last 11 or 12 years, I've juggled multiple hats in this business, pivoted many times, and I had really come to realize that this wasn't a sustainable way forward for me. It takes an awful lot of energy to wear multiple hats, being, for instance, therapist, podcaster, recipe creator, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And not sustainable, particularly as I am at that age of perimenopause, the exhaustion that comes with that, also parental departure, for want of a better word. Yeah. And being in your early 50s, you know that retirement is imminent, whether you like it or not. Yeah. And so I decided that what I needed to do was put most of my energy into ideally one thing. And it needed to be something that was sustainable and something that would, as I said, help me move towards retirement in a more easeful way.
Yeah.
And so my conversation with Sarah was such a pivotal moment for me, because she introduced me to the notion of yes, no, maybe.
Yes.
And it was that conversation that helped me find the courage to, at that time, close my therapy practice, which had been around for a decade. And this was a massive decision for me because I've loved it. It has been life-changing for me, and I know for many people who've experienced the CTC, but I also recognise that something needed to change and that was going to be it. So there we are. Now, yeah.
It, It's amazing. It's amazing. So, I think it's, I really feel that 2023 has been like the year of the shakeout. Like, it's like, it's time to shake the rug of everything that is really not serving us. And for anyone who's listening right now, if you feel like you're holding on to something that really isn't meant for you, like, I really urge you to let it go because as energetic beings, so I'm all about energy. I teach business, but we interweave it with frequency and energy and manifestation and all these things. And I know the pivotal things in my life have happened because I've been picked up and I've been aligned in the right energy. And a lot of times, in order to be in that energy, it requires sacrifice. And so this is the hardest thing for us. So, like, as as women, we're feelers. Like, we feel into everything. And so sometimes aligned decisions are going to feel scary. And so what happens is that we can misinterpret that fear for something that isn't meant for us. So what Amy and I spoke about was that, when we talk about alignment, like, I really ask people to go into their body and feel in, because their body is the organ of truth. Like, our body will reveal all. It always does. And so when it comes to alignment, there's so many different layers of alignment, but we all know what like a hell yes is. Like, you don't even have to question it. Your body, if you notice a yes, your body automatically just leaps forward to it. It like wants to move you towards something. And I was talking to Amy about like a no. Like, we all know in our body what a no feels like for us. If it feels like, we're in this place of obligation, or it feels super heavy, or we don't want to do something, immediately your body pulls away. We know that's misaligned. But what actually happens, and this is the discussion I had with Amy, the thing that is most destructive in people's lives is this section that I call the maybe section. And this maybe, the maybes are the things that you let sit in your reality because they're not painful enough to be a no, but they don't light you up and they're not a yes. And so what happens are all of these maybes fill up your reality, and it's like it clogs up your energy. It keeps you sitting on the fence, and it keeps you in this perpetual hamster wheel where no growth happens. And so this is the hardest aspect of alignment because it's not painful, but it keeps us stuck. And so this is the conversation I had with Amy, and Amy's like, oh my God. So here's the thing. Maybe if you have, so anything could be a maybe. Like, for like, friendships could be maybes. For Amy, her practice was a maybe because you loved it for so many years. You devoted so many hours into, helping people. I've had a CTC session. It was life-changing for me. And like, that's a hard thing to let go. But then there's your soul is saying, Amy, we got more for you. But like, your ego is saying, how can I let this go? And so what happens is you have this internal tug of war. And so many of us have this with so many different things. And this happened for me. My marriage was a maybe this year. My marriage has been a maybe for a long time. And that was something that held me up so severely. And it was such a hard decision to make. Like, when you can look at everything in your reality and list, like, be so crazy honest with yourself, what is a maybe in your life? Is it a marriage? Is it a friendship? Is it a job? Is it a, what is it? And when you start shifting out those maybes, you move it into the yes. Maybe you move it into the yes column. Maybe you can move your marriage into the yes column if you put some effort or whatever. Or if you just, your heart of hearts knows that it is a no, and you move that into the no column and you make really hard decisions, your whole reality, you shift so much energy out of your reality that almost things will shift for you overnight. And that's almost what happened. What happened with you, Amy, when you decided to let that go, your
Yeah,
practice go? It was wild.
well, I tell you what I find amazing, because I feel universally supported with that decision, Sarah, because I think that was something like, so my lifestyle store opened at the beginning of July, and I think you and I have been in conversation around this about March, April, and my mum went down in May, and my dad went down 3 days later, and all hell broke loose, and we lost dad, obviously, a few months later. But I know that there is no way in hell I would have been able to hold space for clients as I navigated what was a very, very difficult few months. And so the timing of that was just impeccable. But then what has been also astounding to me through this period of time is, even though, I've been traveling from Melbourne to Tassie every couple of weeks, what became every single week, trying to support dad, the anticipated grief of losing my father.
Oh, Ames.
What is astounding to me is, even though I carried all that, letting go of the maybes gave me the capacity to still be here and keep this business functioning at the same time. I had the energy to do it because that part of my life was a hell yes.
Yeah.
So the lifestyle store opened on something like the 7th of July, and then it just felt so right. And people, friends of mine would say, I can't believe you're doing this whilst you've got all this going on in Launceston. But it was an absolutely welcome distraction, and because it just felt like a full-bodied yes, and it was it kind of buoyed me during a very difficult time.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'd let go of the maybes and the frustration that I feel when I'm sitting in a maybe.
Yeah, it's so, and I like to look, I liken this to like your reality to me. I love visuals. It's like an energetic grid. And so you have to let the old burn if you want to invite something new in. So can you tell the guys, Amy, so obviously you know, that practice was providing for you financially, and it was your source of security and all of these things. And so there was a lot riding on you letting that go. But are you able to tell everyone what happened immediately? Remember this, the thing with you and Andrew, he had the house that didn't sell. And then the second you let your practice go, didn't all of that go through?
Oh, in Ireland?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, thank you for reminding me about that.
Yeah.
So yes.
Tell them the whole backstory behind that, because this is the prime symptom of holding on to maybes. You're energetic, like your reality is a match, it's a mirror match to what you're holding on to energetically. So if you're trying to move things through and you're holding on to things that are not aligned, your reality, it may not even feel like it's related, but things outside won't shift. But the second you let stuff go that's no longer serving you, unrelated things, seemingly unrelated things, will start to move and shift themselves. So tell them the story of what happened with you and Andrew.
So thank you for reminding me about that, because that's got lost in the, you know.
Oh, I didn't forget about that, because that was so crazy.
So, yeah. So basically when I met Andrew, 3 years ago, he had a few years prior had lost his late wife to cancer, and she was Irish, and he inherited a lovely little country cottage in Ireland, and from the moment not long after we met, Andrew decided to put it on the market. Things don't happen in Ireland as they do in Australia. They certainly don't move as quickly. It became just a really, well, I could say stressful experience, but at the same time, we just got to end up throwing our hands up in the air and going, we're just going to leave that up to the gods.
But it wouldn't sell.
It just wasn't selling. And the problem was, it's difficult. There were tenants in the property, and it is very, very difficult, even if you want to sell, to get tenants out of a property. And the tenants that were there then decided that they wanted to buy it, which would be wonderful, but just month after month after month after month failed to produce the paperwork, and this went on. It is 3 years nearly since we started having this conversation. After you and I spoke, which would have been, I think March, April 2023, it was within days, wasn't it, of that?
Yes.
Within days of that that we got notification that that someone had put in, that it was sold.
Yeah.
Right. Which was a couple of years in the making, and it was such an unnecessarily, one of the issues we were dealing with was just all the relationships in Ireland, where you kind of look out for your friends and family before you put a property to market. And so we were getting emails, I was getting Instagram messages from people over there wanting to make sure I put prioritize certain people to buy the house. Like, it was just a mess. And then, yes, made that decision to let go of the therapy practice. And then within a couple of days, Ireland sold.
Yeah.
And my God.
So bizarre.
Yeah. And look, the only other thing I'll add to that is Ireland may well have sold, but we still haven't got the funds. So what am I doing? Like, shit. And apparently this is also not unusual at all. That you make a sale in Australia, then it settles and the funds release. Not how it happens, particularly when you're looking at an international purchase. But we are it's been a process. But nevertheless, that was something that was released, something we could stop worrying about.
Yeah. It's What I think it's really important if anyone's faced, and the maybes are a hard decision because, like I said, it's the one thing that is it's more detrimental than no's, I would say, because we don't really tolerate no's for too long. If we do tolerate no's for too long, we get sick because that energy is just really detrimental. But because we tolerate maybes, people, I remember having this moment. So the funny thing, Amy and I, we have so much in common. We both worked in recruitment. And I remember years back in my recruitment days, I would be like commuting up Burke Street, and I've had a couple of these moments where I had this like awakening where I just looked around at everyone commuting, like just kind of robotic humans. And I'd like just start looking at people in their eyes and wondering, like, are you any of you happy to be going to work today? Any of you happy to be going to work today? And I remember in recruitment, a statistic that came out and it said something like 80% of people are not happy in their jobs. And I went, my God, like if you are not happy in your job, you are not happy in your life. Ultimately, how can you spend 40 hours of your life in something that you are not happy in and love your life? So this is a really hard-hitting thing for people because, and trust me, I've navigated this myself. I left a high-paying corporate job when I was the breadwinner. I had a lot at stake. I had a mortgage. I had a child. But trust me when I say alignment is everything. Alignment is truly everything. And so it was just a weird moment where I was like, wow, I'm a part of this. I'm a part of this. And so I'm not telling people to jump out and leave their jobs. What I want to do is start planting a seed for people to really tune into what it is they're tolerating, because I tolerated it. I tolerated being in a job I didn't love for 10 years. I just tolerated it because everyone else in society does the same thing.
And says, just while you're on that, you tolerated it, and if we're honest, you were in a position to have made a different choice. You could have, couldn't you? Right? You probably could have made a different choice and changed it if you'd been as aware, as conscious as you are now. However,
Totally, totally.
I think it's fair to say that, how do I phrase this? It is also a question of privilege to a degree, isn't it? Because not everybody has the financial
Well,
means necessarily to make a significant change in their career if they are the breadwinner. How do you navigate those
thank
sorts of
you for
questions
talking.
around
Thank you,
this?
Amy. Thank you. This is such a good converse. This is such a good conversation. Okay, so here's the thing. I would never tell anyone to jump out of a job because I can tell you one thing, scarcity is way worse than misalignment. I would rather somebody be in a misaligned job than to be in scarcity because scarcity is a pit that is hard to dig your way out of. 100%. So if somebody, for example, wants to come and work with me in the business academy or do whatever, and they want to leave their job, no, I don't have them do that because the energy of scarcity, it leaves people powerless. And so what I am saying to people, whoever is listening right now, don't leave your job if it's misaligned and if it's going to put you in scarcity. What I am saying is to plant the seed of inside of yourself. To know that you no longer, I want everyone to make a mental decision that they don't have to tolerate this anymore. Because what actually happens is things in their reality will just automatically start shifting. It automatically and organically starts to shift. So immediately when I had that awareness and I was like, wow, I'm a part of this, I didn't leave. I was still in that job for another couple of years. And regardless of what my situation was, it would have been scary. It was scary either way. I did end up making that decision a couple of years later. But what it did do was it planted a seed for me to have an awareness, which changed my whole life. So all you need to do, and this is hard, like when you make a list, so I want everyone to get a piece of paper. I want you to draw three columns. I want you to have a yes column because I want you to feel into what a yes feels like because we live lives that we tolerate so much that we forget what a yes even feels like sometimes. Like it's crazy. And I want you to feel into that. I want you to feel into a no because I want you to know when your body's telling you, like, this is not something we should do. And I want you to recognize that. And then write your list of maybes. And the second you can actually have the awareness that, holy shit, my marriage is a maybe or my job is a maybe, we're in such denial, which is why we tolerate. So the second we can have the awareness that this is where it's at, then we put ourselves in a position of choice. And it's just choosing the little things every day. It's not jumping out of the job, but it's choosing that I'm going to start making shifts because I'm going to slowly have my life go in a new direction. And so this feels safer and it feels more organic. And this is what I recommend people to do. But that's what happened to me anyway. So I was like, I had the awareness. I had this epiphany. I had a couple of those awarenesses throughout my career where it was like, I'm going to get out of here one day. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm choosing that.
Can I just touch on that? It's so interesting that you provided that example of Bourke Street in Melbourne and looking around at people's eyes, because I remember walking along Collins Street. I was working at 360 Collins.
Yes.
I was going in the lift, and I distinctly remember thinking, and I think at this point I had my own recruitment business and it was doing really well, and it was going to set up my financial future. And I knew that I was doing a really good job and I was making some really supporting some people in their careers, and that felt really great to me. But I remember thinking to myself, I think I really enjoy this job, but I wonder if I'll ever get up in the morning with fire in my belly, because there's no fire in my belly. I was just going through the motions. And this is only a couple of years before I went down with chronic fatigue. But again and again, like it was sort of once a year, then it became every 6 months, then it became every couple of months, and then I never got up again. The universe just kept slamming me, and I just went down with this undiagnosed virus and then couldn't get up again because I wasn't listening, because I didn't have the courage, because there was so much fear. And I think actually the fear that I had was, well, how can I get out of this and still, because I was a single woman, support myself financially. I'm in a career that can help set me up with home and all of these things. How on earth can I make a decision out of that? That security. It was from lack, wasn't it? I stayed in that because of fear of lack.
Yes. Yes. Scarcity is the chain that binds. It really is. So Amy, back then, would you say your career was in the maybe column, or was it even more peering into the no?
You know, it's an interesting one. I was in it for 18 years, which as you would know, for recruiters is actually quite unusual. I think the general burnout is about 2 years.
Correct.
It was a maybe, though. I had this huge sense of determination to try and turn the industry reputation around, because it has a terrible one.
Yeah.
So I really was hell-bent on making it positive, having a positive influence.
Yeah.
But it was, like, there are aspects of our job that I hated, Sarah. Yeah. I mean, I've always been in business development, and huge aspects of that I love, which should be pretty obvious. But I'll tell you what, cold calling made me cold to the bone and instilled so much terror in me, and we had to do it.
Yeah.
And I hated it to the core.
Yeah.
And I knew that I couldn't continue to do that, and I used to bluff my way around it. I think, it was definitely a maybe. It was becoming a no. My health was determining that.
So how do you feel, or do you feel that contributed to your chronic fatigue?
Yes.
Okay.
I think perhaps, Sarah, if I'd listened, I think it's very complex. I didn't know at the time I had post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yeah.
It was something which had been hanging around since 95.
Yeah, right.
But I was diagnosed quite late.
Yeah.
So what that meant is I did an awful lot of buffering and an awful lot of dulling. You know, I worked incredibly hard, but I did everything hard. I trained hard, I partied hard, I drank hard, all of those things, because it dulled what was happening in here. And that was, there was so much stuff going on. There was a lot of emotional turmoil.
Yeah. Wow.
And I just couldn't slow down enough to listen. And, you know, with that, the need to please a father, which I grew up with and never left me, still hasn't, I don't think.
Yeah.
But Sarah, I think if I had made the decision earlier and had the courage to do it, things probably would have been different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your body seriously is the organ of truth. I developed an underactive thyroid. I never spoke my truth. I always suppressed what I wanted, suppressed when I didn't speak up when I saw something or when I thought something should happen. It was just suppression, suppression, suppression. Underactive thyroid, and my body was trying to speak to me, but I was just pushing it away. Just denial is way easier. Let's just keep on going. And your body is always trying to speak to you, but it's trying to tell you what your maybes are. It's trying to tell you what your no's are. Ultimately, maybes are the no's. Or if you love it and you're not paying attention to it and you want to give it more energy, it can be a yes. But ultimately what happens is we end up sick or depressed or just tolerating things in our life where things could be so much more delicious and so much more magical. I have moments where I'm like, I look around and I think to myself, I effing did it. Like, I did it. And that really takes aligned bravery, aligned bravery is people can tap into one thing. So it's just making a decision. Like initially it's like, okay, I'm going to decide that this is not going to be my life forever. You don't have to, you don't have, Amy and I, you and I did not know the how, Amy. We didn't know what our life was going to look like. We just knew it needed to be different. That took an awareness. That took an awareness. So if we can just release the how, I always say this to people, release the how, because the how is linked immediately to doubt. So if you just can know that your the how is never your job, I promise you the universe has that figured out for you, because you wouldn't feel the way you felt if there wasn't more for you on the other side.
Yes. And so this right here takes me that, you know, to the words I've often used in my own life, which is, you know, needing to let go of this need to figure things out. Just let go of your attachment to the need to figure it out.
Yeah.
And simply, like I did so many times. I remember when I was studying and learning to become a therapist with this CTC stuff, and a great example was I'd moved back from Tasmania after my time there with chronic fatigue, with mum, living with mum and dad, and I had nowhere to live. And I was looking after a friend's house, and somebody said to me, "Oh, you should live in Yarraville. You'll really love it." I said, "Okay, fine. Like, I'll just keep that decision simple. I'll go and live in Yarraville." And I couldn't find a place to live for love or money, and I had 2 days to find a place. And the woman who trained me in the CTC, we were talking about it, and she said, "Have you told the universe?" I said, "Well, you know, I thought about it. Like, surely the universe knows. Have you been really explicit?" And I said, "Well, I don't suppose I have. Get a pen and paper," she said, "and write down exactly what it is as though it's already happened." And I said, "Thank you, universe, for producing this beautiful little cottage with enough room for Wilson to run around, with lots of natural light, a modern and clean kitchen and bathroom." And I kid you not, the next morning I got out of bed, I went straight onto realestate.com, and there was an email with the latest properties, and there was my little cute little place in O'Farrell Street, Yarraville. And it was 9:15 in the morning, and I rang the real estate agent. She said, "Oh, as a matter of fact, I'm here right now." Oh. And I said, "Right, can I come and see it?" And the landlord had said no to dogs, and I said, "I can give you the best references." And I sent through a gorgeous photo of Wilson and I, and apparently the landlord said, "Oh yeah, that's won me over, he's cute."
What a bit.
I'm sure. And this is ages ago, and I got it. And so, and interestingly, that is exactly how I came about doing my blends business.
Ah.
When my girlfriend Kerry said to me, because I said to her, "I'm ready for a new opportunity in my business, in my career." And she said, "Have you told the universe that you're ready?" And blah, blah. And I literally was walking along the street and said to the universe, "Okay, throw it at me. I'm ready for a new opportunity, a new direction, and I think I want to create something for myself." And I walked in the door to Andrew and said, "I've just told the universe that I'm ready for something new, and I think it's going to be my own branded products." And next morning I got up, and there was a message in my Instagram account from a blends company. "Hey, Amy, have you ever thought about doing your own blends?" Like, I'm sorry. Are these just coincidences?
No. So detachment allows you to tap into this magic. I promise.
Yeah.
So many, I feel when you are attached, you are linking yourself to your old reality. And the old attachment keeps you bound up. It is binding. When you are detached and you release the how, you open up the magic. And this is these stories, although it's like, what the hell is crazy coincidence? This is what happens every single time. This is my reality. I have built such a strong muscle of divine knowing. Like divine knowing, if any of you could build up, so I get quite into like energy and quantum and all these sorts of things. Like I truly believe like your soul is your desires are your is your soul's compass. It's your guidance. And so when your soul is telling you that your desire has shifted and you're still trying to hold on to it, this is where you start to feel really miserable and things get really hard. But when you can just be in this divine knowing and be able to choose something based on something that you can't perceive yet and just release the attachment, you leave room for all of this, all of it. And Amy, you have so many of these cool stories where it's like, and it must just sound crazy to other people, but I promise you so many other people are so attached, and this is why they don't experience these sorts of things.
And it is very difficult, isn't it, to sit back in that space of trust.
Yes. Yes. Do you want to, yeah. I call this something I call the evidence distortion. So here's the thing. So if you believe, like I believe we are the creators, we are the manifestors of our reality. And here's what happens. Everything that we're experiencing right now in our reality is an accumulation of all of our programming, all of our blocks, all of our distortions to this point. This is what we experience right now. And all of our expansion as well, all of our growth, all of the everything. But here's the problem. What every human is doing is looking at their physical reality that is an accumulation of our blocks, of our distortions, of our programs, and our expansion. But we look at our physical reality for evidence of what is possible. But all our physical reality is an accumulation of our old programming. And so when you're stuck in the evidence of what is right now, it is called an evidence distortion. So we crave the evidence to give us the green light. And if we're looking for the evidence, well, we're never going to get the green light. Just have to choose based on divine knowing. That's why divine knowing is a superpower. Truly.
Gee whiz. I'm trying to proper language. That's really something, isn't it? Because
yes.
It's you almost need, so those sorts of what you just said then needs to be copied and pasted and printed out and stuck on my office wall as a constant reminder.
Yes.
That I don't need to look to my past, or I don't I don't need that for proof,
no.
Because that's not where I'm going to find it. But you
will never find it.
But it's so difficult, isn't it, to break out of existing
yes.
patterns.
Do you want me to tell you why it's difficult? There's a few different layers. Number one, it's self-preservation, right? Because this is a primal instinct. Like we don't want to die. Like it's a primal self-preservation thing. But when it comes to like, we can get into manifestation and woo-woo and all these things. But when it comes to how we think, there's also a lot of neuroscience behind why we get stuck and why we want to loop. So the one thing, and this is good because there's so many awarenesses. And I always say this, when the truth is broken, when the truth is spoken, the spell is broken. So when you can have the awareness, you can break the spell because now you understand what's happening. So when it comes to our thoughts, our dominant thoughts, we are thinking and looping the same sorts of things. We're looking for the same evidence. We're having the same sorts of conversations with ourselves in our head. We don't even know we're doing it. Like I used to have these kind of little awakenings during the day. And it's like, oh my God, I've been having verbal mental arguments with my ex-husband, my mind for the past hour. No wonder I'm shit energy. But like, I didn't even realize I was doing it. But what people don't realize is you literally create hardwiring based on your dominant thoughts. And furthermore, your dominant thoughts are rewarded with dopamine. So you actually become addicted to your old programming.
Oh God, this is fascinating me, and it cannot be better time. So I'm just going to be very transparent and vulnerable here and share that I'm about to start seeing a psychologist who I've seen before, who has been immensely beneficial in my life. And I need to go and see her to help me process the grief stuff.
Good.
And what's come up around that, right? I think a lot of us, you know, it's a huge time in your life. But one of the conversations I was having with my husband Andrew last night was around just what you've said is one, and something that I'm going to her to get support around, but actually I might just book in and see you, is how to release these loops in my head around old, for instance, energies around old relationships and all these stories that keep weighing, relationships I've had trouble letting go of.
Yes.
That impact my energy in far too much than they ought.
Yes.
Yeah. And what I'm realizing is that my mind is on a constant loop around all these. A lot of shame and a lot of relationships that I lost during chronic fatigue. And there is so much shame around it that is hard to let go of.
Of course. Of course it is. But here's the thing, Amy, you're chemically addicted to it.
Yeah.
You don't know that. And we all are. Like people are chemically addicted to gossip or to, it's like, these are patterns that you have to break. It is actually takes quite a bit of discipline. So it's not easy. Obviously you want to talk, you want to get this out. You want to have these awarenesses. You want to see your therapist. You want to do all the things. But what I used to tell people to do is set an alarm on your phone. And I used to do this 5 times a day. I'd set an alarm because you need to have these moments of what am I looping right now? And the second you can break that loop, you start scratching the record. Instead of the record playing the old song, you break that pattern. You start interrupting. It's called pattern interrupting. You start scratching that old record.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No.
I was going to ask a quick question about it. So to make it something that feels really practical. So for instance, let's say there is a relationship in your life that triggers you in some way that you might feel shame around.
Yeah.
Right. Could be an ex-boyfriend, could be could be a friend or a relationship that ended and you feel like you might have been a crap friend or something. Yeah, and then that loop can sometimes stick with us for 5, 10, 15, 20, in my years, 20 years.
Yeah.
So whenever that thought comes into my head, I was a shit friend, I deserved that or whatever, what in that moment.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for bringing this to the table, Amy, because I know a lot of people do struggle with this. So there's a few different layers to that. Number one, I want to take this all back to alignment. I feel it is downpouring right now. I feel that we are alignment. Our souls, like we are brought into people's lives and people are brought into our lives to experience certain things and to play certain parts. And so maybe you tripped up. Maybe something happened, but these are lessons of growth. And so in my heart of hearts, when we stuff up, we feel like we did something we shouldn't have done. I feel like these are all somehow universally orchestrated for your own growth and for the growth. There is a purpose to that. There's a purpose to the pain always. And so we live our lives through the stories we create and through the meanings that we give them. And so the first thing you need to do is like, what meaning am I giving this? The meanings are what I call like a slave anchor. The meanings, if you hold on to a meaning, you keep yourself anchored into that past, into that storyline. The second you can like snip that meaning away and release it, you actually can start freeing and liberating yourself. So what are you making it mean? You really have to let that meaning go. If you can make it mean like, wow, I shouldn't have acted that way, but I know there was some divine orchestration and there's some lesson and expansion in that. And you always are, I'm always blessing the lessons or the hardships or the whatevers. And then I truly believe that those things are there because they're there to teach. Like we have asked to incarnate on a planet that where contrast is our existence. We have to have the light to have the dark. We have to have the cold to feel that. We have to have that. We have to. That's expansion. It's our material for architecture.
So then, beautifully said. So many great quotes. This transcribe's going to take me days. So beautifully said. So going back to though to scratching.
Yes.
What were your words? So scratching.
So, what you want to do is I used to set my alarm in my phone 5 times a day because you need to have those conscious awakenings because it's a subconscious looping. Your mind just does it automatically. Like we don't even know what we're looping. We don't even realize it until all of a sudden it's 3 p.m. It's like, why am I in shit energy? It's because your subconscious is just looping all these stories or the shame or the past or the this and the whatever. You have, this is where it takes discipline because then you're chemically addicted because it's been a dominant thought. So you have to scratch your record. Ask yourself in those moments, what is it that I want? Set your alarm in your phone. I've been looping that conversation or that story again.
Can I just ask, is the alarm simply to pull you into,
yes,
into the
a reminder,
and then to ask yourself, what is it that's going on in my head?
Yes. What is it? And then one simple question. So in order to scratch that loop, you need to take it into a different direction. What is it that I want? Start rewiring the neurons because you're rewiring. Like this is like you're rewiring your mind to start. You can become chemically addicted to success, to your vision, to the divine knowing, to the future, to all of these really. That's what you're going to be chemically addicted to something anyway, because it will be a dominant thought. So you could start programming yourself to be addicted to self-love and expansion and all these things. If you ask yourself one simple question, what is it that I want?
It could simply be inner peace. I want
100%.
I want peace. I want freedom.
Yes.
Shame and the burden.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even bring those words into it.
Oh.
Because what happens is, and this is funny, when I was a kinesiologist, I would ask people that question, what is it that they want? Immediately, without fail, every person would say what they didn't want.
Yeah. And your body doesn't know the difference.
No.
Yeah.
And it's just such a funny, but I would just sit back and kind of giggle, oh, here they go again, you know, but it was such a cool awareness. This is how we're programmed because it's self-preservation. I don't want that. I'm looking out for danger. That's how we're programmed. So we need to be, it's like, this is why it takes discipline because we're literally re-hardwiring the computer program in our mind.
So if someone's sitting watching and they're like, I want to build a successful, and they want to build a successful business. So 5 times a day when they're fine alarms.
Yes, and it would just be that it's done.
Build a $200, $300, $500 million business.
Yes. Yep. And you have to feel that in your body. So if it feels, so here's the thing, and just do it incrementally. So maybe it is inner peace in the beginning. And then incrementally, once you start building that inner peace and you start rewiring yourself, then take it a step up because we want it to be really believable. But yes, I'm always the business stuff. I'm always like, yes, the $1 million this, then 2 million, all of those things. And that's like, I am fixated on that. And I'm constantly thinking about it and I can feel my body sits up, my cells expand. Now here's, oh gosh, we could get into so much with this.
Yes. And by the way, this is meant to, this conversation I think is for the second podcast that I'm
okay.
around the meaning we attribute to things, but yes. Keep going. Yes. We will talk about this in more detail.
You will become chemically addicted to your goals, your vision, your whatevers. And by default, what happens is you start embodying that energy, that frequency. And therefore, this is where you start becoming magnetic. This is where things start coming in. This is where coincidences start happening. However, you would have had to have cleared out a lot of the maybes before that, because your reality is an energetic grid. If your grid is full, there is no space for newness.
So, Sarah, what would you say to someone who's listening and thinking, I really want to find a beautiful relationship, or I really want to build a successful business, but I can't imagine it. I just
decide it's going to happen.
I can't visualize it. What do you do?
You decide it's you just decide your way through it. You decide it's
just
happening.
Faking till you make it.
Yeah, this is going to go into a different. This is going to. Yeah,
okay,
I mean,
okay, we can hold that for.
We can hold that, but it is the seed that you plant every day. You're planting seeds. You're planting seeds. You just, okay, here's what you want to tell yourself. I'm going to decide this and I am going to have the awareness right now that it doesn't feel real to me because I am attached to the how. So if it doesn't feel real, it's simply because you don't see how. Let go of the how. And I always say this, there's an amazing woman called Dolores Cannon, and she's no longer physically with us, but she was a hypnotherapist. She would take people so far under into hypnotic states that they would start channeling what she would call universal consciousness. And they started teaching Dolores about how our mind actually works, how our souls work as guidance, and how all of these things, like our desires. And if we can see something in our mind, it's because it's a timeline that's already done. So if you can anchor in the knowing that if you can see and you desire something, it's because that reality is, it's more than meant for you. It's already done. And so if you can keep yourself in this, what I call the done energy, and let go of the how, it's a muscle you build. It's not going to be instinctual. It is not how we're programmed. But this is where you get to set the alarm and start reprogramming yourself to be in the done energy.
Right. So going back to the alarm.
Yeah.
What if you're, might be a pedantic question, what if there's lots of things you want? Like, I do want greater inner peace. I want freedom from the past.
Yes. And I'm so glad you're asking this, by the way.
Yeah. Excellent. 5 points to me. I also do want to get out of my house and have a warehouse because I'd like to not sleep on my boxes.
Yeah.
And so I do need a certain amount of abundance in this business. Yeah. So what if there's multiple things?
Yeah, then there is going to be multiple things for every human, because if there isn't, then you're not reaching for enough or for more, and you get to have all of that, and you get to have more and more and more. So, oh my God. Oh, Amy. Okay. There's so much I want to say about this. Number one is when we're hardwiring, we need to fixate on one thing. So I would say, what feels most expansive for you in that week, and just fixate, because we're re-hardwiring something. So this is where people get vision boards wrong or affirmations, because they're saying all these affirmations and the hardwiring's all, like, just trying to make a link and not quite there yet. So link up one hardwiring at a time. But I would feel, what is the most expansive thing? So if it's the business or whatever else, that most expansive thing will actually have a downflow effect to all the other things. The inner peace, the this, the that, the whatever. So what feels most expansive, fixate on that one thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
It's an important question, because this is where people get affirmations wrong. Yeah. They're just saying too many and they're not quite linking up any. And so therefore they just nothing. They don't feel any shift from all of the millions of affirmations they have.
So focusing on the one that is the most expansive, and then the knowledge that will just trickle down. That is that's a wonderful feeling.
It does. Visually. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got a question. So way back when we had this conversation, I shared, I was so excitedly shared about it on Instagram, and I wrote a post with thanks to you and your words that I think I just typed out. And someone said to me, what if you don't know what your hell yes is? What if you What do you do if you don't know what? Because I think this could be a really good conclusion to this conversation, and then I want to have another. But yeah.
Such a good question, Amy. Oh my God. This is such a good question. People are lying to themselves if they don't know what their yeses are. They're not allowing them to see what their yes is because they don't think it's possible.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Let that one sit in your system and recalibrate. Seriously. People are not allowing themselves because they're too attached. It's the how. The how is devastating to people. They're not going to let themselves see what their hell yes is. How is that going to be possible? How am I ever meant to achieve that? How? Doubt. Boom. Well, why would I let myself realize what my yes is when I'm just in my mind subconsciously think I'm setting myself up for disappointment? So people who say they don't know what their yeses are, they're lying to themselves. They're not letting themselves see what it actually is because they're too attached to the how.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Chills.
Oh, God. Oh, I love my conversations with you so much. You just inspire me no end. Now, I'm going to conclude this conversation.
Yep.
But to the listeners, the next conversation is another one with Sarah, and I think you'll be delighted to hear that. But, Sarah, I wanted you just to finish on perhaps you helping the listeners understand a little bit more about what you do.
Yeah.
And if there are listeners who are like, oh, I want a piece of this woman, or at least want her to hear me out and my story and how she can hear, how can people get a little bit more of this or work with you?
Thank you, Amy. So this is funny. So my career kind of evolved. I went from recruitment. I studied kinesiology for 5 years. But what ended up happening was I started working with entrepreneurs in their energy. And we started working all of the deep layers of what was happening for them energetically. And oh my God, some of the people, and I'm still really close friends with, we started from when they first launched their business and just worked with their energy until they hit, they're doing beyond seven figures now. And it was just frequency, energetic alignment, choosing the yeses, shifting the maybes, and all this other deep, deep energetic work. And so what I did was, and then it was really cool. Like it, you know, it got to be a lot. And so what I ended up doing, instead of like me working with people one-on-one, because that's not sustainable and it's not scalable, I created what I call the Quantum Coach certification to teach people what I was doing with these entrepreneurs, because it was powerful. It was getting people results. And so if you like this conversation, that's how we could probably co-create together. And then the other part of it is I teach people how to scale and build businesses with intermixing 80 to 90% of success. I know within my heart is energy. I know within my heart is frequency. And so when I teach people about building online businesses, we work on 80 to 90% frequency, and then we combine it with business strategy. So that's the other side of what I do, which is the Business Academy. And I call it the Quantum Business Academy because it is wildly quantum. If you're trying to build a business, you're trying to create something and you are working against yourself, you will constantly feel like you're pushing stuff uphill. I should have asked if we could cuss on this. I won't. But but if you can start building muscles of making aligned, brave decisions that are scary, and you start paving the path of alignment, this is where the magic unfolds.
Oh my God.
Yay.
Sarah, thank you so much for your energy, your wisdom.
Oh, I love it.
What a great conversation.
Got some more wisdom drops to just drop on your audience next time, because has inspired so much more that we need to talk about.
Yeah, fantastic.
Beyond what we even discussed before this. So yeah, hang tight.
I think conversations like this they fuel you. And if this conversation doesn't inspire you in some way, listen to it again.
Do you want to know why this fuels you? And this is really important, and we'll leave it after this.
Yeah, okay.
I promise.
I want to know why.
But there's something called quantum discernment. And I think this is a really powerful piece to end on, that I want everybody to know that there are no truths in this universe. There are no truths in this universe. And so there are laws. There are laws of gravity and laws of the, you know, there are laws, but there are no truths. And so we're experiencing our reality through our truths. And so what I invite people to do is take information as energy and as frequency. And when you move that information, like what we spoke about today, Amy, when you move that truth into your body and it expands your cells, it is because it is aligned to your own higher truth. So you get to decide that's what you believe from now on. And so when you do that, literally, like physiologically, your cells literally expand and you hold more light, which is more of your higher self. However, when you take on things that are not a resonance, or when you quantumly discern something, you say, "Ooh, this feels dense, but because that person believes it, I have to believe it too." And you take that truth on, guess what happens? Your cells start to contract and you squeeze, like you squeeze yourself out of yourself. You squeeze the light out of your cells. So when you have conversations like this and you feel expanded, it's because your higher self is coming in and you're quantumly discerning a truth that is aligned to like your highest truth.
Oh my God. So does this mean I can have the warehouse soon?
Oh yeah, girl. Yeah. It's already done. This is the thing. Done. You just have to decide it's done and it's not like, oh God, this is going to take us on a whole different tangent. We talk about timelines and all of that stuff, but we could do that next time. So we'll leave it on like moving forward, have an awareness around like when people talk about recession, economy, blah, 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 I'm like, that's not my truth. That's not my reality. We do not have to be impacted by what the collective experience is, by the way. We really don't.
No.
We really don't. That's a whole other conversation.
I think we should park that for a whole other conversation because I think that's a really important one.
Oh, love, I have transcended so much, so much, despite what happens. And this is effing amazing. Sorry. I will hold back.
I'm so grateful for your time and I'm excited to get this into people's ears. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you. Me too, Ames. Thank you.
This was episode 55 of Woman, Conversations for the Curious. You'll find Sarah over on Instagram at sarah.tynan.quantum.coach and all further links to her work and today's show notes over at theholisticingredient.com/55. As always, if you're enjoying the series and you've 2 minutes to leave a review on your favorite podcast app, I truly appreciate it. Until next time, stay curious.